Good evening. I probably sound cool as fuck on this mic right now. Good evening. Welcome to the sixth episode of Schmooze. If you're new here, welcome. Sit back, relax, light a candle if you need to. I'm joined here with my co-host, Ian.
What's up?
Ian, how has it been hanging? What you been doing?
Nothing much, you know. We just got these new mics. I feel like this is like an official first episode because we got a whole setup going.
I kind of like it.
Instead of we're just speaking to each other on cell phones. So it's kind of cool. Just kind of excited for it now.
Yeah, we were just using that Zoom audio that always breaks up. I've had a few listeners tell me that the audio's butt. Shout out Gonzalo. He was like, bro, you need to get some mics or something. You need to do something about that. So, Gonzalo, if you're listening, this one's for you because look at us. We leveled up.
That's right. Let's see. It was so funny. So my friend Alex, right, he sent me a TikTok. And he's like, males in their 20s only have three options. And the first one was start a podcast. I've never felt so personally attacked.
Fuck that guy. It's like,
I was like, damn, I didn't know this was like a common thing. But
what were the other two options?
It was like the third option was funny. It was like get into like military extremes and they were like waterboarding someone. It was only the first two that were real. It was like start a podcast, get really into stocks, and then like be a military extremist. But after the first one, I was like, fuck.
Fuck no. I hate. Actually, thinking about it, I think based on all the podcasts I listen to, we're pretty at the bottom of the spectrum of age in terms of podcasting.
Yeah.
I feel like we're pretty young podcasters. A lot of people listen to older podcasters because they're more, you know, wise, have more experience. But I don't know. We just be saying some dumb shit on here.
I know. I feel like I'm writing my own autobiography in these things. I talk so much about my life. I'm like, maybe I should calm down.
Maybe you should just write a book.
Yeah, I'm just like,
speaking about books, how's your reading with David Goggins' book? I think I'm on page like 60 something.
Oh, that's funny. We're on the same page.
Really?
Yeah, I'm 160.
What have you read? I'm at the part where he moved schools.
Yeah.
Those people stopped on the side of the road and just like, you know, did some racist shit.
Which is
to our viewer. Wait, what'd you say?
I was like, which is crazy because when I was reading that part, I was thinking back to that party in Grand Junction. You remember when those hit kids were leaving in their truck and then you're kind of walking after them and they all popped out of their truck saying like some racist shit to you and like pointing guns at you. Bro, I've never been so scared in my life. I was like, Josh, please hide behind something.
Nah, they had BB guns.
They probably were, but I was like, you know, the chances, is it worth it?
Yeah. Yeah. Sound like Aurora.
Yeah, Grand Junction kind of, CMU is kind of just Aurora part two.
Onto the, you know, tech social media world. Did you hear about that man, David Dobrik?
It's hard not to. Literally, I don't know how my For You page works, but as soon as that story broke, like, every other, it's funny, it goes like, one of David Dobrik's friends that posted TikTok, and then right under it, it's like someone posting a clip of Seth saying something like, you need to respond to this, and I'm like, wow, like, my whole entire For You page is just about this.
Everything I see on TikTok, he's just getting accused, like, left and right and left and right. But I did, like, a little bit of deep digging in it. And I don't know. It seems pretty controversial for Jason Nash and David Dobrik. For people who don't know, David Dobrik has a fat, massive following on social media and creates some pretty crazy-ass vlogs. And I don't know. Recently, many of his friends that were part of his little vlog squad have gone to podcasts like H3 and like were saying that they were being bullied, forced to participate in jokes, a little bit of racist shit too. But what you think?
I don't know. Just because I've seen all of them, like, when you put the other context behind it, like, I could definitely see it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if I was one of his friends and they constantly made jokes about something I was insecure about, and it's getting, like, millions of views, I'd be like, okay, the first time, yeah, that's funny. Let it slide. But by the time the joke gets beaten down, it's like, ugh. Like, I could even see, because you know how he... Like, they're good friends right now, but I could see, like, Corinna or something posting something like, oh, God, I hate that he keeps calling me, like, a hoe and stuff, and now that's my image in every video. It's like, there has to be a hoe joke when I'm there.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, like, when you think about it, it's pretty fucked up because they're supposed to be friends, but now it's like, he just needs them for a joke. But also, like, I think these fucked up things, but every time he posts a video, I watch, so... Being kind of hypocritical,
I mean, so backtracking a little bit, there was on the podcast this guy, the guy named Seth. Was that his name, right?
Yeah, Seth.
Yeah, Seth was saying things like, he was sexually assaulted by Jason in a prank video where he thought he was making out with Corinna. Did you see that video too? I think you have.
Yeah, I watched
it. Where he was in a mask. Yeah,
I watched all of them, so like I know like everything they're talking about.
Yeah, I feel like usually people try to come out and accuse other people for like a quick buck or a little bit of publicity on their side so they can get the ball rolling. But I don't know. I truly believe that he was traumatized over that prank and it was just blown over the waters like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, besides the fact that, also, like, maybe if it was, like, a funny, even just, like, a quick peck would still be considered, like, sexual assault, you know? But in those videos, you can see, like, Jason goes in, you know what I mean? And that's the part where, when he takes off the mask, where I'd be like, holy fuck, this guy didn't just, like, peck me as, like, a quick joke. Like, this guy full on made out with me.
Yeah. So. Tongue and everything. That thinking back now, I would be heated.
Yeah, I would too.
I would be heated. Like at the moment, like when I was watching it, when was that? Probably 2018, probably when I watched that.
Yeah.
I thought that shit was hilarious, but if you switch and don't look at the double standards, that shit's kind of fucked.
Yeah, it's like, you know, as I was saying, it's like there's always two sides to a story, and because we watched all the videos, you know, when the controversy first came out, I kind of just always skipped through them. I'm like, eh, whatever. Like, it's definitely for clout and stuff because I'm a huge fan of David's and I know that this, that, and like, he's such a great guy and stuff like that. But then when I, like, really watched it, just because at some point, you know, it was just blasting so much where I'm like, yeah, I want to kind of investigate this. And when I did, I was like, holy shit, like, this isn't just for a joke or clout, like, this is some serious stuff. Like, I still haven't listened to what Big Nick has said, but I have listened to the sad story, and just that, I think, like, you know, everyone keeps telling him to, like, be accountable and stuff for it, but, and, like, I don't want to give props to this or anything, but the way David's handling it on his side, because I know, I'm sure he knows. Like, there's no way he doesn't know. He's a social, like, his job is social media. There's no way he doesn't know what's being said about him on social media. You know what I mean? But because he has so many things in the work, like, if you've been keeping up with his podcasts and stuff, like, he's trying to open a pizza store, and he just released the app that's kind of like I don't really understand too much. I tried to look at it, and it was... Like, they kind of have to rework it, in my own personal opinion, already, because it was just weird. But it's, like, supposed to be, like, an Instagram, but it's like you're taking pictures with a disposable camera. But anyway, he has so many things in the works that, like, he's just trying to bury it as much as he can. Like, you know, deniability is, like, he's not even denying or confirming anything. He's just being silent, which I think is on his part kind of smart, because, you know, his views are still getting, his videos are still getting millions of views, and it's probably because he isn't saying anything, because he's keeping it so, like, down low in his own life that for his fans, they, like, barely care.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I feel like he has to address it in some type of way, because, bro, that having victims under your actions is literally a ticking time bomb waiting to just explode in their face. It's like, once this shit gets even more coverage or is stated by law, or you get sued over that shit, that can really fuck up your brand and your face and how people see you as a creator. And I don't know. I think they should say something at least, you know?
Yeah.
Say sorry, apologize, anything. Even over that racist shit that they said over the Asian or whatever.
Yeah.
I forgot what.
Oh, actually, you know what the craziest part is? That it was like nothing that, it didn't even strike me at first when I was watching the prank, like the second one, how he had all the people there, like, dress up as gorillas. When Seth was talking about it, I was like, holy shit, like, that didn't even cross my mind. But low key, it was like, why were they gorillas?
Yeah, that's fucking, I don't know. How do you feel about when big name creators like that have apologies? Like, are you sympathetic to it? Are you, how do you feel about those?
Usually I just say, like, bullshit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they're just doing it to cover their face. But even, I don't know, I feel like even when they apologize, most of the time it doesn't work out too well. Depending on the scandal, it doesn't work out too well.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, everyone already is thinking one thing, so.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of some other YouTube scandals. I remember when I was growing up, did you ever watch Shaytards? It was this family, super fun family. They had like four kids at the time, but I guess the main dad, I think his name was Shay Carl, he cheated on the wife, and then their videos just went to shit, and then he was like, this is goodbye forever, and they didn't post for like 5 years or something crazy like that. And I checked it out the other day, and I guess they're back together.
Yeah, I guess that's the thing. It's like,
yeah.
And, like, I bet you, even if David does apologize and it gets swept under the rug, like, what am I trying to say? I just feel like even if he does apologize, it's not going to be in a way that is right. Like, I think that's the problem I have with most apologies. Mostly it's just, like, it's clearly so they cover their ass, but it's never, like, a true apology. Yeah. Like, for a lot of the Me Too movement, when they're accusing the men actors, all of them all said sorry, but they said, I didn't view it that way, and I'm so sorry that you did. It's like, is that an apology? Not really.
Nah, not really. I hate that shit. You apologize and you're like, sorry that you saw it that way. Like, bitch, you said that shit.
Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like if, like, I wouldn't be like a huge, I wouldn't go back to, like, viewing videos and stuff, but if he came out and was like, yeah, I did do these fucked up things, I'm sorry, and, like, you know, try to work towards it, I guess I would respect his apology, but I still wouldn't be as into his content, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. When Ian and I were roommates, we used to watch this man's videos, like, right when they dropped.
Yeah.
we were always excited. I kind of saw David as, like, a role model in some type of way in my video production, you know, the way I want to, you know, make videos. But I don't know. He just got to deal with this shit in a correct way to keep his fan base how strong it is right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like they're taking some dips, but still, his videos are making that money for him. Nah. So, honestly, if he doesn't see, like, a drastic change in his viewership and stuff, I feel like he won't apologize, which is the fucked up thing. Like, people won't apologize until they feel pressed.
A lot of those big names, YouTube stars, and even people outside of YouTube are have you heard of them moving out of California?
Yeah, that's so crazy. There's literally every other video I see on YouTube is like, I'm moving out of California, like the Paul brothers. I haven't watched all of them, but like Carly from the Vlog Squad, I think she's moving out of Cali. There's just a bunch of people that are leaving Cali, and I was like, damn.
Like the big names, like fucking Joe Rogan, Elon Musk, like Logan Paul, like you said. I did a little bit of deep digging for some info on like what are the major reasons for leaving. Because to me, or growing up, for me being from Colorado, I've always wanted to be in California or live in California or saw myself as the end place in California. But now that I've done my research and now that I've seen all these people leaving and I don't know. It's kind of scary.
I think
just a mass exodus is happening in California.
I think I haven't searched anything up or shit like that. I've just heard some stuff from like Logan Paul's podcast. But a lot of the things he's been complaining about is like how high their taxes are and how much money he's paying. Uh-huh. I feel like for a lot of the content creators, I don't know about like the big company people like Elon Musk. But I think for content creators, like because of COVID and because they're not making as much and producing as much stuff and getting as much revenue, they're realizing how expensive and not worth it is to like live there. And they're like, holy shit. Like, it's kind of like an eye opener.
Bro, California has a fat problem with overpopulation and like extreme levels of poverty. Like extreme. Do you want to hear these stats? It said, I wrote down, it says, California's poverty rate is 18.2%, meaning every 1 in 5 people living in California falls below that poverty rate.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is.
And they face one of the worst homelessness problems in the U.S. This fact had me like, what the fuck? Okay, listen to this. There are 39 million people living in California, which is more than the entire country of Canada of 37.5 million.
Damn. So if you calculate that, how many of those people are homeless? I don't know math that well, but that's a lot of people.
you're gonna have to ask somebody else. Yeah, but the state income tax there is 13%.
Damn.
That's a fat chunk of money coming out, especially if you're one of these big creators like Joe Rogan. He moved to Austin, Texas, which has no state income tax at all.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of meaning, because of how much they make is how much they're getting taken out. And I was like, damn, that would suck to be making so much money, but then having to pay it to fucking taxes, man. I wanna retire in Italy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, ever since I went there on a family trip, I'm like, I kinda wanna live here, but I don't know if I'd be able to live here right away. But I think like as an old man where I'm just getting those checks and I have all my money, then yeah. I was thinking of opening, even though they have too many, like another pasta shop.
What?
What the fuck? Yeah, I know, I really thought about this.
Yeah. One thing that's on my bucket list is to go to Paris and wake up one morning and have like the what do you call those little sliding doors open to the roads. Maybe I'm just picturing this like how it's seen in the movies, but I see myself opening the screen doors, eating my pastries by the door,
some wine,
drinking some coffee, smoking a cigarette.
Just a complete lifestyle change. Bro, like, to get a little off track, but I missed such a huge opportunity. So, I think during the World Cup, right? Or one of them, one of the huge soccer things, I was studying abroad in Prague, right? And to get to Paris, it would have been like either an hour flight or a train ride. I don't really remember. And we were planning on going that weekend, right? And then Paris ends up winning, and they just have, like, massive parties everywhere. And we decided not to go because of, like, money issues. I was like, fuck, I really wish that we just sent it, because that would have been such a wild experience. Because, like, I was so close. It was just a little train ride away, and I was like, fuck, why didn't I do this?
I'm getting goosebumps of how that vibe that was there.
Yeah, it was nuts, because we watched it. Watched it in a pub, and when they won, like, yeah, it was crazy. And I was really pissed, because I was like, damn, we should have been there right now. It would have been such a vibe.
Missed out.
I know. Like, that's a, you know, that was a good teacher right there, though. I was like, damn, why am I, like, worrying about money? Like, I should have just sent it and kind of try to figure it out. And it's funny, because I was talking to my dad about it, and I thought he'd be like, oh, no, it was good you didn't go. And he was like, bro, if you're there and you have the opportunity, then you need to, like, go and do them. Don't care about money. If you run out, like, well, why are you money and shit? He's like, I know you're, like, thinking of us and worrying about that and not, like, wanting to push more on us. Because, you know, I'm in a big family. They already spend a lot of money as it is. Like, the last thing they'll need is to spend thousands more just so I can fuck around. But he was like, you should have just done it. Like, when else is that going to happen for you? And I was like, in that moment, bro, I was just hitting my head on the wall. Like, I hate my life.
Well, think about it. You think your parents would have just left you out there homeless and hungry? Fuck no.
No, but I think they would have been like, I don't know. For some reason, I keep thinking that they would do something like that to me. I don't know why. It's just in my head. Like, even when I was like, living with you and stuff, when I was gone, I would be, like, scared I wasn't going to make rent, and then I wouldn't, like, buy groceries or something and kind of just try to survive. And I was like, every time I would get there, I'd be like, why am I doing this? Like, they're not going to let me die. But I don't know. In my head, it's like, don't ask. I guess I'm just afraid to ask.
We did survive off those 4 for 4s, though. Thank you, Wendy's.
When there was that buy one, get one, I was like, Josh, please. So many buttons.
I'll drive us. Oh, wait, I don't got no gas.
Oh, God. I don't know how, God, man, I'm so bad with money. It's crazy. I mean, like, speaking of money, bro, I mean, I guess this happened kind of a while ago, but since you're a part of it, it's relevant still. GME, you made some money off that, right?
I did make some money off some GME gains. A little tendies there.
Yeah.
A little chicken tendies.
I'll ask you how much, but, you know, look at me and tell me, was it a good amount?
All you need to know is I got some tendies.
That's another thing. Oh, God. You know what sucks is before it got really big and crazy, my grandmother, you know, she's like always on the news and stuff, just kind of a thing. And she texted me before it, like, got really big, like a few days before. She was like, hey, you should throw some money into GameStop. I'm hearing, and it's weird. It's like, she's crazy.
You should have just did it.
I know. She was like, well, for me, like, I don't really understand stocks, so maybe you can explain it to me, but when she sent it to me, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, like, everyone always says this is going to be a good stock, and then what? I'm going to have to wait a few years to see the gains? And then, no, a few days later, kids be waking up, got 10K in their fucking in their portfolio.
Bro, a lot of people lost a lot of money, and that GameStop thing is still going on till this day.
Yeah.
That whole... do you know who Deep Fucking Value is?
Uh-oh.
Basically, he's like the leader of that Wall Street Bets whole shenanigan shit. But anyways, this man put down like millions of dollars, gained millions of dollars, right? Millions. Not like just 1 million, not just 2 million, like multiple millions of dollars. And then he rode it all the way up, rode the wave all the way down, didn't sell a share at all. Took a little bit of profits, but didn't sell, like, all of it. And then after his, like, hearing, because Robin Hood had a hearing, Reddit had a hearing, Citadel, all the hedge funds and stuff had a hearing to like say they're not guilty of manipulating the market, basically. Anyways, after he spoke on that little interview thing, he like doubled down his shares on GameStop, and that shit made it go back up again. And that's what they're basically writing on right now. I don't advise anybody to be touching those kinds of stocks because you never know when you're going to be caught bag holding that shit. And, you know, I just had to run with my shit as fast as I could and not touch that shit again because that is a fat gamble. Like, nothing in the stock market does that shit. And, yeah, bro. That shit's crazy.
Yeah, I don't fucking understand. The only thing I know about stocks is the Wolf of Wall Street movie, and
I'm not fucking leaving.
And that shit still didn't make sense to me. In the movie, I was like, when he was getting arrested, I was like, wait, why is he getting arrested? What did he do?
Bro, please get into it. I have nobody to talk to about. Look at this. I'm gonna show you right now. I'm showing Ian my wall of post-it notes and notes.
Wow, look at that. You really...
I'm trying.
Well, I am somewhat in it. I have 3 stocks. not a lot of money in because I don't have a lot of money to begin with. But,
yeah.
I'm trying. Right now, besides Wolf of Wall Street, I play Warzone with a bunch of kids that are really into it, and they just talk about the possible stocks and the money, and the next day I just buy the stock they're talking about and don't let them know. So I just
thank you guys. Yeah,
I just listen and do. Supposedly one of the ones I bought is supposed to really blow up in 4 years. I don't know how he calculated that out, but I'm like, all right,
what's it called? Let us know the ticker.
I can't. Symbol? I don't want to reveal his secrets.
Watch it be AMC.
No, it's not one of those. It's actually something you wouldn't think. Well, it's like not one of those big companies. But yeah, so I bought some of that stock today just because they're hyping it up so much. And I was like, you know what? These kids seem to know what they're talking about.
Bro, so get into it. And follow my Twitter, which is financial Twitter, which is at fuckhedgefunds. That's my at name.
At hedge funds?
At fuck hedge funds.
At fuck hedge funds. See, you didn't even tell me about that, bro. I'm trying to learn.
Basically, my tips to you and to whoever wants to start is to make sure that your savings has enough to save you if anything is going to go on in your life. And also to fucking do your own due diligence, which means do your own research, because there's a lot of these people on Twitter or on Reddit that just be yelling shit out and people just be buying it. And you going to get caught with your pants down in this market. Trust me, I learned firsthand basis. And a lot of people say that the best way to learn how to trade is to pay market tuition. And market tuition is, you know, losses.
Oh. Interesting.
Oh. Oh.
I'm trying to.
Okay.
Oh. Sounds great, man.
Have you heard of NFTs?
No, just
since
because
we're on this.
Just because of you. Yesterday, but I still don't fully understand, so why don't you go ahead and explain it?
Well, I had to do some little typing and finding some research to make sure I give you the best definition into our viewers. So basically, fungible. So NFT is a non-fungible token, right? But so fungible means that something can be exchanged or substituted and will hold the same value. So examples of fungible things are dollars, gold, Bitcoin, Ethereum. So if I give you a $10 bill and you return it back to me with 2 $5 bills, I'd be okay with that because it's just the same value. They hold the same value, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Non-fungible means it's an asset but can't be substituted. It has a unique attribute that makes it different. So some things, some examples of these are paintings, digital art. A lot of people are putting digital art and getting paid through blockchains, like with Bitcoin and Ethereum, if you know what that is. And other examples are, he's looking at me like, what? Other examples of non-fungible things are a house or a video game skin. So when you bring that as a token, quote, token, the token refers to a digital certificate stored on a secure database called a blockchain. Are you keeping up with me here, Ian?
Right, and I think, so let me try to not be a complete dumbass, but so blockchain is, I think I saw a video, it's like, for example, people can have a bunch of replicas of something like the Mona Lisa, right? But it's not the original, but then people could fuck with others and say, yeah, this is the real one, but with the with what you're talking about, it's like, because it was made online, there's no way that you can recreate it without people seeing, like, I don't know if it's like the IP or what it is, but there's like a specific thing that tells you that this is the one and only, and there's no possible way to replicate it.
That's basically why people invest in NFTs and shit, because they are digital assets. Their price and what they're worth moves with everything else that's in that same market. And they're publicly verifiable property authenticated on a blockchain, which means what you just said. Like, they have their own code. They have their own serial number. They have their own things that you can use to verify that it's real. And it's like, most things are like one of a kind. You know what I mean? But with that being said, I believe that NFTs are the future of digitization in terms of like collectibles and art.
And on that note, me and Josh will be starting our own trading cards.
Buy our NFT. Pay us with Bitcoin.
Please. Well, what are your views on Bitcoin? Do you think it's really going to be like the futures? Something. I the words are escaping. That was the only smart thing I had in the tank. Now you're going to have to... future currency.
Bitcoin. I believe that it's still in the early stages right now. I'm currently not invested yet, but I probably should be, because that shit's hit 50,000 like 4 times in the past 2 weeks. Now, anyways, with more and more institutions and like even Tesla saying like, yeah, you could buy a Tesla with some Bitcoin, that to me represents a lot of value in Bitcoin.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, yep. And then I bought some Dogecoin. So hopefully I can buy
like
Tesla.
5 cents now.
Yeah.
It's like 5 cents now.
Yeah, let's just say it's been a little bit heartbreaking. There's a second there when it was going up a lot, and I was like, wow, maybe I will be rich after this. But no. Yeah. Nope, went back down.
It went back down?
But, you know, hopefully one day Elon just keeps fucking around and says I can buy a Tesla with it.
Hey, he just need to tweet Dogecoin 10 more times and that shit will be $1.
Yeah, I know, exactly. If it gets to $1, let's just say that would be pretty nice.
On this, so we'll make a reference right now. It is March 1st, 2021. Bitcoin is around 45K to 50K right now. We'll see what it's at in years or months ahead.
You hear the sad story.
And we'll be like, damn, why didn't we fucking put money in right then and there?
Yeah, acting like I have the money to put into it.
What do you be spending your money on?
I don't know, man. I got called cheap once. And ever since then, I haven't been able to keep money.
What you mean? Who called you cheap?
All right, I won't say it. So there's
for the next podcast.
There's this one time where I was told that I would get a buy one get one free movie ticket.
What?
And it didn't end up happening. Okay, I had to pay full price, and yeah, I wouldn't shut up about it for like a few hours, and ever since then. It was just always brought up, and I was like, you know what? I'm not cheap, and now I've never been able to keep money to save my life.
And now you just be buying the most expensive shit.
Yeah, and it's it's ridiculous.
Like that mic in front of you right now.
Yeah, pretty much. He said, buy this, and I was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
This shit's about to sound amazing. What if it sounds like boo-boo?
Then I'm going to be really mad because I spent money. I'm about to
Thank you guys for watching. I'm gonna just redo it again.
Yeah.
Thank you, Fies. Thank you guys for watching. Fuck. Thank you guys for listening to the 6th episode of Schmooze. Tune in next time when we talk about what are we gonna talk about next, Ian? Put you on the spot.
We're gonna talk about your OnlyFans and the profits you've been making from that.
Deuces. Peace.